Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to the man who humbly and graciously accepted the 2002 Small Business Journalist of the Year Award.
Who's the man? Who's the man?
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining us today. Thank you for hanging around with us. You just tuned in. Welcome aboard. Wayne Cruz is our guest. He's our good friend. We've been talking with Wayne for a long time. He's a longtime member of our Brain Trust, Vice President for Policy and Director of Technology Studies at the Competitive Enterprise Institute, that's CEI, and many of you have heard Wayne and others from that organization on the show before. Wayne, welcome back to the show.
Thanks a lot, Jim. It's a pleasure to be with you.
It's good to have you back, as always. Wayne, my audience knows that in the last few months, couple of 3 months, mm-hmm. I've been doing some internet security conferences with IBM. As we've traveled across the country talking to small business owners out, small and mid-sized companies out there about making sure that you're up to date on all the security issues that you need to know about. Wayne, a lot of people think when they think of security, internet security, they think of, you know, getting viruses in through the email, which is still one of the ways. Or they think about being hacked by some pimple-faced, teenager that doesn't have anything else to do. But the truth is internet security, or I should say cyber crime, has become a multi-billion dollar industry, hasn't it?
It's a huge industry. There are a lot of folks who are making a lot of money for themselves by basically polluting the net and doing things to you. And one of the problems we've talked about before on this show is the anonymity on the online is a mixed blessing. On the one hand, for political we want political anonymity so that oppressed people around the world can be able to speak. And in one sense, you can think of even spam software as kind of the anonymous pamphlet of today. It's a way that people can speak to a lot of folks at one time. But what's happened, though, is that anonymity also lets the bad guys hide, too. And, we've seen things like viruses. We've seen the spam attacks and the denial of service attacks on Internet servers and things of that sort. We've also seen the phishing attacks, with the PH, phishing, where you get an email in your inbox and it looks exactly like something that comes from eBay or
those
comes from PayPal.
Much more sophisticated.
That's right. Well, they're much more sophisticated now because now they're not just phishing, but they're called farming, PHARMING. And that happens if you get a virus on your computer, you can actually type in the URL for a particular website, say eBay or your bank, and type it in yourself as opposed to clicking a link. And instead of going to the correct site, you go to a phony site and then enter all your information. And then, of course, that's what it's caused. It's caused by a virus that's put on your computer that then just takes over. And
if you've already given them an opportunity to
through an email, through an email or something like that.
You opened up a wrong email or something like that.
Yeah. Exactly.
And if you don't have good security systems, I tell you what, folks. Here's my question. If you have a connection to the internet, I don't care how you're connected. If you use email at all for anything, any purpose, even if it's just to get an email from the grandkids, I don't care how much you use it. If you are connected in any way to the internet, to cyberspace, you're doing anything at all on the internet, and you don't have a subscription to a security system, here's my question. Do you also not lock your car? Do you also not close your lock your doors at night? Do you also leave your credit cards laying around all over the place in public so people can walk by and get numbers and do all that? Do you hand people money? Do you tell them to come get your stuff and steal it from you? Why don't you have a security system on your computer?
Well, you really have to. I mean, there's nothing secure about the internet, and it was never designed that way. Mm-hmm. And that has been known, but the culture of the internet was one of trust, And it kind of evolved that way, but the truth is now you've got a lot of bad actors online, and you've simply got to protect yourself. You don't have it's very difficult for anybody at all to guarantee your security online, you know, no matter what you do. And you have to take charge of it. You have to make sure you guard passwords and change them frequently, that you always are plugging up potential backdoors into your computer. And that's why, you know, the providers are getting more and more sophisticated, too, because they know a lot of individuals whose computers can get taken over by some of these bad actors don't have the time or inclination to do it. So a lot of the ISPs now are offering virus protection software. You know, AOL makes a big deal about offering security online. Companies like Oracle and Microsoft are trying to do the same.
If I didn't have a security system on my computer, I would be shut down because
it would grind to a halt.
I mean, within 15 minutes.
It absolutely grind to a halt.
In some way, it happens every 15 minutes. We execute a virus on my computer. Stand by, 20 Tail. We'll be right back with Wayne Cruz. More to come. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 17 Till. I'm Jim Blasingham, Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you'll subscribe to my free newsletter if you haven't already. If you have already, thank you for that. If you haven't, what are you waiting on? It's free. It comes every week on Sunday by email. And I hope you'll check out also our blog, which is there on the homepage, and we'll send it to you 5 days a week, or you can come get it. Either way, we'll make it easy on you. And don't forget all the other things, the archives, the articles. Our Brain Trust members, like our good friend and our guest this half hour, Wayne Cruz. Wayne has deposited lots of wisdom on our site through his work that we posted on our site, and also through the archives of past interviews that he and I have conducted. So I hope you'll take advantage of all of that. Wayne, give us CEI's website, please.
Yeah, we are www.cei.org, and you know, you've talked to us a lot. You've talked to a lot of folks from here, and you know, we are a regulatory policy think tank advocacy group, and we work on issues everything from Sarbanes-Oxley and banking issues down to free market environmental reforms.
They're the folks
just all across the board of the regulatory state.
Ladies and gentlemen, when things start looks like they are starting to get out of hand, and the marketplace is maybe just a little bit slow and are not quite as effective in reacting to something, and the public starts complaining a little bit and the government starts trying to regulate things, they're the folks who say, okay, let's don't get excited, take a deep breath, and let's make sure that we don't get overregulated, right?
Well, you don't want to make things worse than they already are, and often that can happen.
It's not that you don't want regulation.
What you want is you want discipline, and the question is whether that discipline is best coming from the marketplace, from competitive and consumer pressures, or whether it's better coming from the political arena. And that's kind of the issue we have with cybersecurity, too. So what we've done over the past year or so, and I think I mentioned to you during one of the breaks, that we got into the cybersecurity issue and the computer business network security issue mainly kind of as an adjunct to our work on Internet privacy. You know, a long time ago, the question was, you know, well, is DoubleClick collecting consumer information and what do we think about it?
Mm-hmm.
But after that, when the real problems became apparent, that you had not just commercial entities out there that, you know, collect information for legitimate reasons, but you had bad actors doing it for non-legitimate reasons, and that there were inherent features of the Internet that made it susceptible to that kind of thing, we started looking at a lot of the questions going on. And a lot of those are, you know, are we vulnerable to actual cyber terror, actual cyber attacks, or is it really just a cyber crime issue?
I don't want to dilute the impact of the word terrorism,
mm-hmm.
but in this world, in the world of cyberspace, some of the things that are going on are no less a form of terrorism. The residual effects of it. In other words, right now, Wayne, you and I are still being terrorized every time we travel by air.
That's
the
right.
The effects of 911. You know, the one guy took a shoe bomb on a plane on one day, And ever since then, you and I have had to take our shoes off at airports.
That's right.
So even though you know, we're not risking our lives. In my opinion, we are. It is a form of terrorism when we all have to continue to do that. Well, all the things that you and I have to do to prevent these cyber criminals from breaching our security, breaching our privacy, and everything. Those things hamper our ability to move and do business online.
Oh, well, it costs a tremendous amount of money.
It's a form of terrorism.
It's just a huge impact, and it's a huge cost. Now, you know, you mentioned the airport. Now, there's an example too where the government response might not be what you want. I mean, the running joke is that TSA, for the Transportation Security Administration, stands for thousands standing around, you know, meaning us standing around in security lines. But you know, it's a response to a threat that happened. Now, online, the potential vulnerabilities now are not just our computers and small business computers, but what about the electrical grid and the air traffic control system and the banking electronic systems? By and large, it seems like a lot of those are safe. I mean, in other words, they're air-gapped from the Internet. You know, they're completely separate networks. And I think you might find that becomes an increasingly that becomes an alternative that's increasingly leaned toward, especially with wireless networks and things like that. People just say, well, heck with the capital I Internet. We'll just use a separate network for our movies and videos and our gaming and things like that, and for our medical applications and whatnot. But what's happening now is you're seeing, because of identity theft and things like that, which are critical problems now, you're seeing Washington start to respond. But just in a nutshell, I'll say what the problem with the Washington response is, and we just wrote a paper on the problem with regulation with regard to identity theft, is you've mentioned terrorism, you've mentioned criminals. Is the problem with Washington's response is it's punitive with regard to the very people who are getting hacked.
That's right.
In other words, the business person and the business person whose database gets breached is the one being punished in this legislation.
But it's just like we're all being
subject
punished
to criminal penalties.
Keeping us safe at airports is punishing us. We're being punished.
Right.
And it's not anybody's fault. I'm not complaining.
Right.
But it's the way it is, and that's you know, the definition of terrorism is chaos.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Creating chaos, and so now some people might say, Wayne, well, why, you know, if there's so much danger, there's so much out there that could harm us, why don't I just disconnect from the internet? Well, you know, it's also dangerous to drive your car. Why do you still drive a car?
You always have to weigh those costs and benefits, don't you?
It's all about managing risk, ladies and gentlemen. That's what it is. You got to use the tools. That's the whole point. My whole point on this conversation with Wayne is there are tools out there that can help you. When we come back, I want to talk about some of those, and it's not from the government. Intel, stay with me. Your heart may be broken. Are you reeling in the years? Stowing away the time. Are you gathering up the tears? We're back. Until I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're having a great visit with our good friend Wayne Cruz for the Competitive Enterprise Institute. That's CEI.org. Wayne, you know, somebody a while back, it may have been you, reminded us of what WWW stands for. A lot of people think it stands for World Wide Web, folks, but it actually, we now know, stands for Wild Web.
And, that's right.
You know, Wayne, I saw some research recently that said that cybercrime costs businesses in 2005 $62 billion.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And that's why it's so important that we make the right response. Because if the idea, if Washington's idea of saying, well, business has got to secure their networks, but not just of their own initiative and their customers' initiative, but because we say so and we're going to penalize you, the cost can go up. I mean, businesses now are going crazy over these, you know, in the post-Enron era, these Sarbanes-Oxley accounting regulations.
It's killing the market.
It's killing the market, but the risk here, Jim, is that we are potentially going to put in place a cybersecurity version of Sarbanes-Oxley, by which CEOs are required to sign off on security audits and required to perform all of these third-party oversight of their network.
Sure, stop that, because Sarbanes-Oxley, the only good thing about Sarbanes-Oxley is it doesn't affect everybody in the marketplace.
Right.
not directly anyway, but Sarbanes-Oxley was a bill that was passed in less than 90 days. Anytime the government, all the people on Capitol Hill agree on something like that and put it together in 90 days, it can't be good. And I wrote about that. I predicted that it would not be good before they made it a law. And what we don't need is a Sarbanes-Oxley type of legislation for the Internet. But the way to stop that is for the practices of those who use the Internet to be smart, for us to use the tools that are available, the security systems that you can buy from McAfee and from what's the other one?
Symantec, and Norton, and several of those companies have merged. Yeah.
There's a number of those folks, and for $30-$40 a year, you can get romp and stomping security systems that'll just zap those things when they come in. But then you've got to be smart about not letting people into your computer. Don't bite on the phishing things. They're very sophisticated. You know, the ones that get me. I saw one the other day where I got one from eBay allegedly, and it was a seller who was mad at me because I told him a lie or something like that.
That's right.
Well,
that fooled someone on our staff too.
The first thing that you think of is, well, I did not do that. I'm going to write this person back and tell them they've got the wrong person. You know, I'm really indignant about that. Well, that's what they're playing on. And the moment you click on that link, they got you.
That's right. Well, the thing to realize is what's happening among regulators is they're treating this as a market failure. And that's not really what's going on. Markets have to adjust to new things, and the Internet is certainly a new thing.
Right.
And
right.
Business going on to an Internet is a new thing. And we already are seeing the market respond. There's now cyber insurance. You can buy insurance so that if your database is breached and you're sued, you recover. There's obviously backup of data, but there's also security outsourcing. If it's too difficult for a small business to monitor its own networks, often they will, and we do this at CEI, will outsource that capability to a company that can. And, you know, these are companies that are set up like kind of like a NASA mission control. They're watching not just your network, but those of all of their other clients, too. And
you
if they learn anything about that's going on wrong in the Internet, if there's any bug floating around, these companies behind the scenes can work together. And that's one of the problems with regulation, too. It's a, you know, disclosure of mandates, reporting to the government. But it might be better to solve these problems behind the scenes before the bad guys know that they've been caught on to.
But we can all play a part in this by becoming more secure ourselves and by being smarter users of the Internet. You know, if anything happens with regulation, any overreaction with regulation, Wayne, it's going to be because of identity theft. 3 out of 4 Americans in a recent survey, Wayne, said that they were more likely to be a victim of cybercrime than they were a physical crime.
Yeah, yeah.
And that kind of emotional attitude is likely to call legislators to overreact. And so, folks, if you like Sarbanes-Oxley, you're going to love what the government would do to regulate the Internet. Wayne, give us the website one more time.
It is www.cei.org, and you can find our recent studies on cybersecurity and just about any other regulatory issue you think of.
It was published on May 9th, folks, if you want to look for that on their website. Wayne, thank you for being here. Good job today.
My pleasure.
I'm looking forward to you being back real soon with the 10,000 Commandments.
Looking forward to it.
That's going to be coming out soon. Thanks, Wayne. See you next time. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blastingame, the Small Business Advocate, and whatever you do, don't go away. I'll be back on the other side of the news.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.